Jesus' name, and let everybody say, amen. Amen. Brother Jaden, would you roll that next slide? All right, now grab your Bibles in your hands and repeat after me. First of all, say, we welcome you, live audience.
We welcome you,
amen. Our live audience is with us right now. All right. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught God's word. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Make some more noise. I know we ask you to do that often, to put your hands together, but it helps create an atmosphere that shifts us into receptiveness. Because whenever you applaud, you are happy for something. So it shifts us into a receptiveness and helps me to minister the word. Today's title is Go With The Flow. Somebody say, go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. So I am in many ways a type of go with the flow type of person. That's my personality. But as I have shifted and transitioned into leadership, you just can't always go with the flow. How many know you can't always go with the flow? You have to have navigation and direction. But I feel impressed to talk about going with the flow as it relates to leadership. And so a subtopic or a subtitle would be this: lessons on leading in times of crisis. We're going to talk about leading in times of crisis. We are in crisis times. And so how do we lead through and lead in the crisis? In its basic terms, leadership is influence. And so whoever you are, you have leadership potential in you because you all have some level of influence. If it's just a mother, you are leading those children. If it's a husband, you are leading the family. If you are leading in an area on your job, if you are dealing with clients and their well-being is based on what you do, if you are manager, if you're boss, if you're a pastor, if you're a praise team leader, you are in leadership and we are in crisis. And so as we're moving, shift into the end times, we have to walk through crisis. But just because you walk through crisis doesn't mean you get to throw away your leadership. Now, you can throw away your leadership, but when you throw away your leadership, you throw away your power. Then you get tossed to and fro by whatever the leaders above or ahead of you do. You get tossed by what they do, and you don't get to control your own destiny. This is the time and the season to be in control of your own destiny. You will always, even when you're leading, you'll always have someone ahead of you leading you. I am the pastor of this ministry, but I am not the mayor of this city. Nor am I the governor of the state, nor am I the president of this country. I always have someone ahead of me, but there also can be someone behind you. And when you lead in those times, you bridge gaps. So this is what I want to say as I'm setting it up. Crisis leadership over leadership crisis. So I want to teach you how to have crisis leadership, because if you don't know how to have crisis leadership, you're going to end up in a leadership crisis. And one of the problems that we see in our day and age right now is there is a leadership crisis. We have people in positions that don't know how to lead. I was going to say that don't know what they're doing, But I don't want to say that because in many cases, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm working and walking by faith. You can lead without knowing what to do. When you become a parent, you don't get a manual on how to be a parent. There's no manual on how to be a wife, how to be a husband. Yes, you can read scriptures, but many times we don't know what we're doing. But here's what great leaders do when they don't know what they do or are doing. They wait and they don't lead until they do. They put people around them that help navigate them. But we have a lot of people in leadership who think they know it all and they can do no wrong. And what we have in America and around the globe and even in churches and down to your jobs and down to the schools, we have a leadership crisis. But that's on the bottom because I don't want that to be us. I want you to have crisis leadership. You cannot avoid crisis. You cannot avoid trouble. You cannot avoid issues, obstacles, diseases hitting the land. You can't control all of that, but you can lead through it. You can navigate your way through it. You can influence people through it. You can throw the towel in, stick your head in the sand, or you can stand up and lead through it. We need to have crisis leadership over leadership crisis. All right, let's put the definition up. Definition: leadership is a process of social influence which maximizes the efforts of others towards the achievement of a goal. Let me say that again. Leadership is a process of social influence which maximizes the efforts of others towards the achievement of a goal. At the end of the day, we're all humans and we all have the same goals. We want life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We want to have love and joy. We like to have a little money in our pockets. We don't want life to get the best of us. We would like to get the best of life. Many people have the same ideas, but they're all going about it different ways. And so when you get someone to follow the path that you're on, and you're on a path that's going to lead to something that is welcoming and positive, then you have influenced someone positively. If you get somebody to go on the path that you're on and it leads them to something damaging, you have influenced them and led them damaging. Here's the problem I have with church folk. When we were in the streets, we knew how to lead in the streets. We knew how to get someone else to know where the dope is. The dope, you want to know who the dope man is? I got the hookup. I'll take you. But when it comes to church, we don't know how to lead anybody. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. But when are you going to stand up and lead? If you could lead in those days, if you was a man and you knew who the promiscuous girls were, you told your friends, oh, man, hey, man, you can get with her. Her mama leave at 4 o'clock and you can sneak in the window and she get home at 8 and you can sneak back out. You told folk how to do wrong. But then you get to the church and you act like you're on hush mouth. You don't know how to lead people how to do right. And it's not always just with your mouth. It's with your life. You lead with your life. And the problem we have also in the church, sometimes our lives are so raggedy, nobody wants to follow us. We're the most depressed. We're the most anxious. Nothing wrong with dealing with depression and anxiety. That didn't make you less than anybody. But if you're in the church, why are you the most depressed? Why are you the most anxious? Why are you the most evil? Why do you have the most trouble? Why do you have the most debt? Because we have leadership crisis instead of crisis leadership. All right, I'm taking my time. I don't have my bow tie on, so I thought I was going to move through fast. But I'm still in professor mode. Ever since this pandemic, all the time while y'all were gone, I was preaching hard and fast. But now that y'all here, I'm taking my time. And I kind of like it. Makes me talk a little longer, but I feel like I'm imparting and impacting things into your life because we are in a season that we cannot miss. We cannot miss because this is, you can make one wrong move in this season and it could cost you tremendously. So I'm just taking my time. So we're going to put this quote up. Would you put the quote up for me? It says, "Be like water making its way through cracks. Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle and it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend, Bruce Lee. This is the martial artist, Bruce Lee. And I had some trepidation of using this quote because most martial artists don't come from a Christian mindset. They come from an Eastern religion. A lot of times it's just martial art, but sometimes it's connected with other things that may be demonic. But I felt that there was something important about what he's saying. Be water. Be adaptable. If you can't be adaptable in this season, you're going to fail. You have to be adaptable. Now, March 4th, 2020 was me and my wife's 20th anniversary. We had scheduled to have a vow renewal on March 20th and fly to Paris the next day. The week before that was to happen, everything came crashing down with the pandemic. We didn't get to do no vows, no cake, no flight, no Paris, no nothing. But can I throw my life away because something happened that was outside of my control? Did it hurt? Yes. Did it bother me? Yes. But you have to learn how to adapt. You can't be so weak that you fail to adapt. People have killed folk because they stepped on their Air Jordans. I'm killing you. Learn how to adapt. You mean you're going to throw your whole life away over a pair of $200 Jordans because you have a gun in your pocket and somebody stepped on them and then you just react? No, no, no. You have to learn how to adapt. Sometimes your feelings are going to have to get hurt and you're going to have to go through it. Sometimes you're going to have to just suck it up to keep your job. I've been on my job 23 years on July 20th. Just last month, I hit 23 years on my job. And in order to keep my job, I've had to suck it up sometimes. I couldn't say everything I wanted to say, do everything. Well, I had to adapt. And the reason why I adapt, I like the check when it comes. I don't always like the job, don't always like the boss, don't always like the people, but I like the check. Now, if I want the check and if I want the benefits, I got to learn how to adapt. Adaptability is a strong trait of leaders. You have to be able to adapt. In this day and age, you'll go to a restaurant with a certain thing on your mind, and you get there and they say, because of the pandemic, we ain't serving that. Well, that's the only reason why I came here. You can be mad, or you can order something else, or you can get up and leave. Stop letting the whole world crash over one thing. Be like water. Learn how to go with the flow. Because sometimes what it is, the devil's trying to trip you up and getting you stuck over things that really don't matter. Here's the thing that's interesting. You have the money to sit down at a restaurant. Somebody is still don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Get over it. Get over yourself and adapt. Don't touch nobody. Don't touch your neighbor. But look at your neighbor and say, adapt, baby, adapt. All right. Now let's read Romans 12 and 2. I want my mom to read this. And I know this is going to seem contradictory because that adaptability seems to contradict this scripture. But I want to work some stuff together. So read that.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is.
So,
his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
All right, so if we adapt, doesn't that mean we will conform? Bruce Lee said, if you be like water, cause the water conforms to the glass. The water conforms to the teapot. So if we are to be like water and go with the flow, wouldn't that cause us some trouble? Because what if we get in the world and we adapt like the world? Well, there's a part of the quote that I took out for to make it more uniform, to keep some uniformity. But I'm going to pick that part of the quote back up, and I want to show us something. I'm going to put the quote up, and I want, Mother Mitchell, I want you to read that. Put that up for us.
If nothing within you stays rigid, outward things will disclose themselves. Moving, be like water. Still, be like a mirror. Respond like an echo.
Right, here's the power of what he's saying. Adapt on the inside. adapt from within, but not on the outside. He said, when you're moving, be like water, but when you're still, be like a mirror or be like an echo. In other words, the power of that statement is water can also reflect, but water only reflects when it's still. So when the world is full of fear, you don't adapt to that fear. You reflect to show them what they look like, and then you flow to show them how to go to something different. When they send something this way, you let it become an echo. You don't let it hit down in your spirit. I understand the importance of saying things like Black Lives Matter, but whether they say that or not, I know my lives matter because I know who I belong to. So if somebody gets mad and says all lives matter, I don't have to allow that to pierce my soul. I just echo it back to them, and then I flow to what I need to be. So we're not saying conform to the world. We're saying reflect the world so the world can see there is a better way. And then you move and you shift and you adapt and you show them a better way. And that's called leadership. All right, let's go to John 7:37. I'm going to get to rolling pretty soon.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Jesus is talking about water in a spiritual terms. Read the next verse.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
So the water that we're talking about, going with the flow, we're not saying going with the flow of the world, going with the pace of the world, going with the mindset of the world. We're saying that because of what God has done in our lives, there is a wellspring of water within. And we got to flow from within. And the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The reason why we don't adapt to the world, because the world has dead water, but we have living water. The reason why the Dead Sea is a Dead Sea is because it has many inlets, but it has no outlets. In other words, water flows into it, but it doesn't flow out from it. But if you are a part of God, you are trained to give. You are trained to flow. You are trained to give, and you are trained to flow. And so things always come out from you, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let's look at that same verse in the New King James.
He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Read it one more time for me.
He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
It shifts the belly to the heart. So what we're dealing with really matters of the heart. So that's going to bring me to my first point, point number one. Point number one is what? Read it for me.
Leading in times of crisis, you must lead from the matters of your heart.
You must lead from within. When I say lead from within, I'm saying leading from the matters of the heart. Going back to the example that I said, that when you go to a restaurant, they don't have what you want. The reason why you can't allow that to affect you is because that's not a heart matter. That's not a heart issue. You have to understand what are the things that are most important and valuable inside of your heart. All right, let's go to Proverbs 4:23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Everything you do flows from the heart, which is the flow. So when we say go with the flow, we're saying going with the flow that's inside the heart. Here's the problem. If you allow damaging things in your heart, when you flow stuff that ain't right. I got to paint this picture. So when I worked in Muncie at General Motors, I worked at the water treatment plant. So we had acid as well as sewer stuff. We had all kinds of stuff that flowed into the same water. Even now, the water you drink from, the water that you wash from, is the same sewer water. They have a process of extracting all of the bad stuff. They actually put bacteria, what they call good bacteria, that eats up and removes, and they have acids, and it separates all the garbage from the water, and clean water comes out. If you ever see the process of wastewater, it's amazing how they can get clean water from dirty. But God does the same thing. God takes our life and all that we go through, and he washes us and cleans us, and out from us comes rivers of living water. But it shouldn't be living water, because we've had some death and some darkness come in us. We've had some bad things and some bad trials, but God separates the bad from the good. He works all things to our good, and somehow we have water flowing out of us that is fresh. The world needs you. But pastor, I've been molested, but you don't understand. God has worked that from you. He's taken the bad and he's left you with the good, and the world needs you. But he does ask you to do him one favor. Guard your heart. I can work on it. I can deal with it, but guard your heart. Now here's the revelation back to what I was telling you about my story, is that even though we had all these processes to go through to strip the negative from the water and bring clean water back into the plant, there were certain times where we would have spills that would get down into the drain, and they'd have to stop and shut everything down. Because what that meant is our process can't catch this quick enough. And what will happen is some of that stuff is going to get back out into drinking water. Years ago in the White River closer to Anderson, a lot of fish were dying because they found out they weren't doing the process right, and they were leaking some bad stuff back into the process. God will clean you. God will wash you. But if you live a willy-nilly life and do whatever you want, say whatever you want, act however you want, you're going to get some junk and some trash in your heart, and it's going to mess up the system. It's going to mess up your outflow, and it's going to mess up your life. It will damage you. Oh man, I didn't mean to teach like this, but let me just keep flowing. The reason why we have the sewer system that we have now is because several years ago, I think around the 1500s or maybe the 1400s, in France, people kept dying. And they were wondering why people keep dying. Well, they were washed in the same place where their excrements were. They didn't know. They didn't have the wisdom to know that stuff has to be separated. And so people died. And once they figured out, they created what we call the sewer system. Here's the thing. God loves you. God has saved you. But if you stay in some of that mess, it's going to kill you. It's going to hurt you. The reason why the relationship couldn't work, because it was going to kill you. The reason why the job didn't work, the reason why you moved over there and didn't work and you had to come back to Muncie, because you was going to die over there. God's trying to protect you, but you keep opening your heart to any and everything. And God says, no, I can't have you do that, because I need you to lead. And how can you lead if you're just as jacked up as everybody else? So I need some help. So let's look at this same verse, Proverbs 4:23. This is in the HCSB, Home and Christian Standard Bible. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Your mic is struggling. See if we can switch you to a different mic. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. And so I've said this already, but this leads me to A. Point one has an A under it, leading from within. So I won't address too much of that, but let's go to B. B is leading from a set of already established core values. The reason why I don't conform to certain things that the world does, because I already have my own set of core values. There's some things you cannot make me do, because inside I know this is what I want, this is what I want to be, and this is where I want to end up. I have some core values set. In the example of your GPS, in order to get from point A to point B, you have to know where point B is. You have to know, if I want to go from Muncie to Chicago, there's several ways I can go, but if I continue to go south, I'm not going to get to my destination. You can go south from Muncie to Indianapolis and still get to Chicago, but you have to take an exit and shoot back up north. But because I know where I'm going, I can navigate my way. But when you don't have core values, and when you don't have a set of values that guide you, you'll get in anything. You'll be tempted to do anything. You can have anybody trick you because you don't have a set of core values. And the problem with a lot of us, we don't have some core values. We don't have some non-negotiables. And the reason why your relationship doesn't look like Andre and Lady Devers. Why? I want black love. I want white love. The reason why your relationship doesn't look like ours, you don't have non-negotiables. Oh, no, you have no's. When you go on the date, you say, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. 2 weeks later, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you're doing that. And so people don't respect your word. And so when you try to stand up and say and put your foot down, they don't respect you because you don't have any non-negotiables. You got to go into certain things with non-negotiables. Look, if you cheat on me, I'm gone. If you steal my money, I'm gone. If you touch me when I say don't touch me, I'm gone. I'm laying it out up front. These are my non-negotiables. And when you don't have core values, it's hard to lead. Got to have some core values. Problem I have with our president, he doesn't have core values. He does have one value, him. But if you look at years ago, he functioned like a Democrat. Now he's functioned like a Republican. Why is it different? Because it suits him. But if you nail him down to what are his core values, you don't know, because he changes. He'll tell you, no mask, no mask, no mask. Then later on, after all the science comes in, yes, masks are good. I was the first one to say masks. No, you wasn't. I seen the media, but he's so slick, fake news. But he doesn't have core value. I'm not trying to dog the man, but when you get on the highest place of the land, the spotlight's on you. So I'm not saying I would be much better, but the spotlight is on you, so I can use him for examples. But you have to have non-negotiables. There are certain non-negotiables I have in this church. I love all of y'all, but if y'all raising hell, being mean to each other, I'm going to deal with you. Because if we're going to be a church of love, I don't want that stuff going on in my church. Non-negotiable. It's a core value. But somebody say it still goes on the church because they hide it. But I'm glad you got to hide it for me. I'd be a weak leader if you could do it up in my face and I don't say nothing about it. Every time I see Sister Francis, she's always mean to Brother Donald. And I don't say nothing because she give good money. So I don't want to make her mad. No. That's a non-negotiable. Her and her mean self and her money can leave unless she changes. Because if we're going to be a church of love and that's our vision, it's a non-negotiable. You coming to church every Sunday is not a non-negotiable. If you don't feel like coming to church every Sunday, I'm still going to love you. Maybe you're busy. Maybe you got stuff going on. I'm not one of those pastors going to call you and say, where you at? Why haven't you been here? Because it's not a non-negotiable. But if you're coming to church every Sunday and you're mean and evil, that's a non-negotiable. What are your non-negotiables? You have to be leading from a set of core values. All right, I'm going to put that quote right back up. We're going to put the quote back up that we read. If nothing within you stays rigid, outward things will disclose themselves. Moving be like water. Steel be like a mirror. Respond like an echo. Sometimes on your non-negotiables, you don't have time to get into a whole bunch of stuff. You just echo. In other words, you say what they say. Let me give you an example. So some years ago, I had a boss that was just, me and him didn't click. I just put it that way. And he got on my nerves, but God was telling me after I did what I was supposed to do and I called committee men and all that. But after that, I still had to work with him. And I didn't appreciate him. And he didn't like me. And it's just kind of, it was just what it was. But God was asking me to humble myself. But one thing that the Lord showed me in my wisdom, if I would listen to him, he revealed to me is that the person was on a power trip. So instead of me fighting with him all the time, sometimes all I had to do was echo. What do you mean by that? I didn't have to allow it to affect me. I would just echo. They would say, Andre, you go do that. Okay. I go do what I wanted to do. And I'm not saying I was bucking the system. I knew my job. See, I had been there 20 years. He had only been there 3 weeks. So he wanted to tell me how to do my job. But first, I was arguing with him. But all I started saying was, okay. But in his mind, I was following his orders. And then I did what I know needed to be done. And when the job got done, he's like, hey, you did a good job. I know I did a good job because I did it the way it's supposed to be done. But instead of fussing, I just echo. Okay. Andre, I want this done. I would just, I ain't doing that. Over time, he figured out the system. And he stopped trying to be the boss like that. And sometimes he would ask you, Andre, what do you think need to be done? Yeah, I've been here longer than you. Yeah, but I learned I didn't have to fight to get it. See, I thought I had to fight to get it. What I wanted to do, I wanted to conform to be him. I wanted to ego trip the way he was ego tripping. But God was telling me there was another way. Sometimes if it messes with your peace, it's not worth it. See, I called the people. I did what I was supposed to do. But over time, it was messing with my peace. Because when I would see him, I couldn't speak. I couldn't say hello, good morning, or whatever, because he made me that mad. Then I realized it was no longer his problem. Now it was my problem. And so I had to adjust. But when I adjust, I still got the desired result I wanted, which is I just wanted to be respected on my job. But I got there by learning how to adjust and adapt. That's just good to throw out there for y'all. Let me talk to some of y'all married folk. Sometimes the arguing is not going to work. Sometimes your wisdom is in silence. Sometimes you know that man don't know what he's talking about. Make him think that he's doing the right thing by the way you moved, by the way you shift. You don't always have to conform into argument if you don't feel like arguing. You don't have to conform into tension over politics because everybody else is in tension over politics. And just because they're fighting doesn't mean you have to fight. You be like water. Echo when you need to echo. Move when you need to move. Adapt when you need to adapt. But always be going with the flow that's on the inside. All right, this is good wisdom. This is some good teaching. Romans 14 and 4, read that.
Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Next verse, verse 5.
One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind.
Me, my sister, and my brother Stephen are all in a group text, and every now and then we will talk about scriptures. We may pray, just something that this has started and has worked for us. And so Stephen sent verse 5 to us and said, what do you think Paul meant by each one should be fully convinced in his own mind? I had no idea that it would work into my message, but me and Kelly said what we thought it meant. But what the wisdom that I came to understand is in this, that what Paul is saying, each person be convinced by their own set of core values. In other words, you really don't have to fight and judge somebody else. I don't think you should, but if you vote the way I don't vote, we still should be able to be friends. Because it doesn't affect my core values. Now, I'm not going to vote the way you vote, but it doesn't affect who I am. In other words, let folk be them. Let them do them. Stop trying to change people to be like you and to be you, but you be you. You be persuaded in your own mind. The problem is we're not convinced in our own mind, so we let everybody push us around. No, I know who I am, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know what I'm not. You can't change me. We can talk, we can debate, and I can still love you and disagree agreeable. You're not going to convince me that as a pastor, it's okay for me to have a wife and several girlfriends. If that's what you do and your church is prospering, you do what you want to do because you answer before God, but I'm answering before God and I'm answering before Devin. And Devin ain't as nice as y'all think she is, so I'm not doing it. Y'all do what you want to. In my own mind and on my marriage, it's not going to work. Now, I always talk about me, but the same thing for her. She can't have me and four other boyfriends. No, that's a non-negotiable. But I'm convinced in my own mind. If Will and Jada can do it, let them do what they can do. If they can afford entanglements, let them do what they can do. But as for me and my house, we gonna stay together. Because I'm fully convinced in my own mind. Now, let me take out of that into something a little different. You might go and somebody from another church might have some things that they are convinced about. You shouldn't be going into Deliverance Temple with them pants on if you're a girl. Let them think that, but they don't belong here. So don't let them sway who you are and what you're doing. I remember getting a call from a friend who had got saved here, and I had been working with him, dealing with him, and then he went to another church, and because he hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, they made him feel like he wasn't saved, and he called me. He's like, Andre, why didn't you tell me? Why did you let me believe a lie? I'm like, sometimes you just got to chill. Other people believe other things. If I thought it was important for your salvation, I would have told you. But for me, I'm not convinced that you have to be baptized that way. So if you like that church and fed from that church, go over there and be baptized that way. If you like us, come back over here and let's not make a big deal about it. Because I'm persuaded in what I'm persuaded in. I'm not worried about the church down the street. I'm not worried about what they're doing over there. This is what we do here. And I'm convinced and persuaded. This is what belongs here. And here's the thing. Everybody doesn't belong here. I love you, but if you find a church that feeds you better, that you will thrive better in, if you feel more sanctified in a dress, take your dress to another church and I will still love you, but I'm not persuaded that's what we need here. So don't come telling me about what the church over there is doing, because I'm not the church over there. Stephen Furtick said something amazing. He had a lady come to him, and she had left the church that she was at, and she came to Elevation Church, a church that's just, God has been tremendously blessing in crazy ways. And she starts saying, our church had this, and our church had that. I think Elevation should do this, and Elevation should do that. I can't remember if he told her directly, but at least he thought, if your church was doing all that, why don't you stay where you are? But since you're over here, how about you get with the flow over here? Go with the flow. All right, that's pretty simple. Let's put up point number two. Read that for me as well.
Leading in times of crisis, you must lead from a secondary position.
I'm going to try to explain that by putting up point A first. Go to A.
Knowing what to follow is the first step. In learning how to lead.
Knowing what to follow is the first step in learning how to lead. You're going to lead, but you're going to be leading from a secondary position. And what that means is no matter how high of a level of leadership that you are on, there's always something above you. Let's go back to the president. Even though the president is the highest leader in the land, he's still governed by the executive branch. He still can't do things that the Supreme Court says can't be done. He's the high leader, but there's always something above you. Don't ever think your leadership means you're at the highest level. There's always something above you, always something higher than you. And for us, it's God. He's the final say-so, so you're always leading second. You'll hear me say this because it's a human terminology that I'm the pastor of this church, but really I'm the assistant pastor. The Holy Spirit is the pastor. I have to do what he says. I don't get to do what I want to do because he's the pastor. Sometimes I don't get to preach what I want to preach because he's the preacher through me. I'm leading, but I'm leading from a secondary position. As long as you understand that, it'll keep you humble and it'll keep you locked into high-level leadership. I'm going to turn a corner, but it'll make sense in just a second. I'm going to have them put this up, and I'll read this because it's kind of small. On the screen to see, but it says up to 60% of the human adult body is water. According to H.H. Mitchell, why did I use him? Because he's got a great name. H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biological Chemistry 158, the brain and heart are composed of 73% water, and the lungs are about 83% water. So the whole body is about 60% water, but when you break down each individual organism, they have high levels of water. So 73% water for the brain and heart, 83% for the lungs. The skin contains 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are 79%, and even the bones are watery, 31%. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about going with the flow. And every time we put up a graphic on the screen, it has water because I'm actually working somewhere spiritually. But let's just jump naturally. Naturally, we are filled with water. And that's why water is good for your sustenance. Drinking water is good for you because water is all throughout our body, up to 60% of our body, plus all those other numbers. Now, let's go to Genesis. I want to go all the way back. And the reason why I'm doing this is, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. There's a theological principle called the law of first mention, which means the first time something is mentioned in scripture it's amazing. The first time you see a word in scripture is always amazing because it tells us usually the arc of God on that subject. Now, God has many ways through that subject, but it usually tells us something that is revelatory about that subject. So we're going to go to the beginning to see the first time that we see water in the scripture. So read the first verse of Genesis.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Verse 2.
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water.
First thing I want to point out is that Bruce Lee, in his first quote, it talks about us being formless and shapeless. And then here it says that after God created the earth in verse 1, then we see verse 2, we see that now there is no form. There's darkness and there's a surface over the watery depths. And then we know that because of Satan's fall, that's how it happened. God didn't create it chaotic, but Satan fell and caused chaos. God didn't create coronavirus and this pandemic, but here we are and it's a crisis. So that's something to understand. But the first time we see water in the scripture, it's connected to this. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you are 60% water naturally, then you are water spiritually. And what makes you a good leader is when you allow the Holy Spirit to hover over your waters. Now, the waters can be formless. The waters can be disorganized. The waters may have sin. The waters may have depression. The waters may have gone through divorce. But if you allow God to hover over your waters, I don't care what chaos you're in, what crisis you're in, what mess you've been through. I don't care what's challenged you. I don't care what stopped you and what's blocked you. But if you sit still long enough for the Holy Spirit to hover over your waters. I need the Spirit of God to move over my waters. There's some stuff I don't know how to do. I don't know how to fix. I don't know how to come out of this grief. I don't know how to come through this. I don't know how to pay my bills. But the Holy Spirit will hover over my waters. I can't go with the flow until the Spirit touches my flow. And that's why, even if you're not all the way tapped in, connected, it's good to come to the house of God. Even if you're running late, well, I shouldn't come. No, baby, come. Because the Spirit of God can move over the waters. Even when it's not Sunday and it's not Wednesday, there's such an anointing in this place. If you just pull up on the parking lot and sit in your car, the Holy Spirit will move over your waters. Oh, man, I got some teaching to do, but I can stop and preach right there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will sometimes just sit on you. Sometimes he'll just control you. You ever had the Holy Ghost just hold you back? You wanted to say and you thought you was going to say, but the Holy Spirit held your tongue. That's him moving over your chaotic waters. You lead from a secondary position. You are not the boss. He's the boss. And if I shut up long enough, if I'm still long enough, if I pray long enough, if I worship long enough, if I listen to good music long enough, the Holy Spirit can adjust my waters. Let's look at verse 3.
Then God said.
Now God spoke after the Holy Spirit moved. Read.
Let there be light, and there was light.
That brings me to B. Read B for me, the point B.
God's Spirit and God's voice over your waters brings organization out of chaos.
When you're in chaos and you're in crisis, first God's Spirit will hover over the waters, but then he'll speak, and his voice and his Spirit connected, it brings organization to the chaos in your life. I know you may be in chaos, but if you stop long enough to connect with your Creator, God will give you a way out of the chaos. That leads me to C. Read C.
Jesus and water. He turned it, spoke to it, and walked on it.
First time we hear about God the Father and God the Spirit is connected with water in Genesis. But later on in the New Testament, Jesus' first miracle is he turned water in the wine. See, they were running out of wine, and so he said, bring me some water. Now, we don't know where the water came from. We don't know if there was chaos and crisis in the water, but he turned the water into wine. If I allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I allow the Father God to speak to me, here comes Jesus stepping into my waters, turning my waters into wine. See, the reason why I'm anointed, because I got some wine in my belly. It ain't the wine that you think I'm talking about. It's the wine of the power of the Holy Ghost. He turned my chaos into anointing. He turned my mess into a message. He turned my mess into a ministry. He turned my test into a testimony, because once he touched the waters, he can turn the waters. But not only did he turn the waters, but one time he was on the boat and the waters was acting up. He got up and he spoke, peace, be still. He can speak to my wallet. Because sometimes, even though I am quiet on the outside, I'm raging on the inside. You ever been so anxious and so worried that on the inside your soul is irritated and you don't know how to get through? But God will speak peace to your waters. Peace like a river. Peace that passes understanding. How can you have peace in this situation? It's because God will turn my waters and he'll speak to my water. But lastly, he knows how to walk on the water. In other words, he turned the water that he should be sinking in into something that now supports him. And so the waters inside of me, when they're raging and they want to do something outside and crazy, the waters turn around and support me. I've seen where my mistakes have turned around and supported me. I've seen how my failures caused me to fall forward. And when I got up, I was closer than what I was before I fell. Let me give you another example of water. Jonah made a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. He disobeyed. Let me just be honest. He just straight up disobeyed. And if you get into the whole story of why he disobeyed, he was a racist. Them folk in Nineveh, and those folk, that was actually, if you study it, they was black folk. He knew God would touch them, and he turned them around, and he didn't want to be bothered with them. So he did his own thing. He gets in there, and the Bible says he got swallowed up by the fish. But here's the thing. The fish was moving in the direction of Nineveh. So when he failed and messed up, he got swallowed by something that got him closer to his destiny, what he was supposed to do. When God is on your side, even your worst mistake will get you closer because he knows how to take your water and walk on it. I'm so glad God has walked on some of my waters. All right, let's. That leads me to point number three. Read point number three for me.
Leading in times of crisis. You must know you have permission to lead.
One of my troubles as a leader or pastor is I have to make sure people know they have permission to lead. Because when you are in a position of authority, people who are following you, they want to know you have they have your approval, but also they have your permission. Because if I do something and it's not the right thing, I don't want you going off on me. So you need to know you have permission to lead. But in crisis, that is very important. Because in crisis, you can't always contact everybody in crisis. Give you an example. In the crisis that we were in, many of you guys have been checking on each other. I can't check on all of y'all. I'm the pastor, but I can't check on all of y'all. I was talking to one of our members who lost a loved one. And I had been moving so much. I've been trying to reach him. I finally got a hold of him. And I missed the day of the funeral. And I was just like, I'm sorry, but I really have been praying for you. You know, I really have been praying and thinking for him. I even wrote a poem to help them through their grief. I was thinking about my grandmother and their loss. And I wrote, but I could not go see him. When I finally got to talk to him, it was 3 days after the funeral. And it was like, an apostle came by and saw me. I say, thank God. Thank God that they don't think Deliverance Temple doesn't care because somebody did it. Now, this is a little bit of a bad example because he sits over me as overseer. But here's the thing. He didn't ask my permission to go and do the work of the ministry. He just did it. So you need to know you have my permission to live your vision every day. I can't be everywhere. I can't reach everywhere. I can't pray for everybody. I can't counsel everybody. Some of y'all need to rise up and start praying, start counseling, start helping. And many of y'all have been doing it. Thank you, but keep on doing it. You need to know you have permission because when crisis comes, they can't always reach Pastor Andre. They're going to reach the person that they see. They may know of me, but they know you. They may know of me, but they work with you. So you got to be the Bible that they see. You have to be the living epistle read of all men. You got to be the Jesus in your neighborhood. You got to be the Jesus on your job. You got to be the Jesus at the family reunion. You can't say, come to Deliverance Temple so my pastor can preach to you. No, you rise up and lead. In other words, you be the water that the dying desert world needs. Be the water. Go with the flow. What's the flow? We live our vision every day. Now, does that mean we feel like living our vision every day? No. No, but what we try to do, we've already got it hidden into our vision statement. We confess our deliverance consistently. So if I mess up, good thing I'm at Deliverance Temple. I'm not at Judgment Temple. I'm at Deliverance Temple. So I'm not going to get judged because I messed up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to dust myself off. And I'm going to go with the flow. And I'm going to help somebody else. When you are converted, strengthen your brother. That's what Jesus told Peter. This is Peter that denied him. Peter that was cussing. Peter cut off ears. Next thing you know, Peter is preaching a revival and 3,000 get saved. How did that guy go over here? He got delivered. How did he get delivered? Was it through 12 steps? Well, not this time. It was through Jesus. Now, if you need 12 steps, take them. Sometimes I don't need 24 steps. I don't need 48 steps. I don't care how. Just get your deliverance. Confess it every time you need it and then go with the flow and help somebody. Now, if you're going to go through all that hell and get delivered and don't help nobody, that was a waste of time. No, what makes you so great is you pass your lessons on to the next generation. All right, I've got a few more verses to read. I'm lying. I got several more verses to read. Let's go. Genesis 1:26. So we're going to go back to the beginning based on that law first mentioned. Read Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
All right, so we know that the earth was formless and all that stuff, and God started doing things, and then he gets his idea, let us make man in our image. And so he is working in a crisis. Man was shaped in crisis times. So you can function in a crisis. Don't fool yourself. You can function in a crisis. You can function in a recession. People have gotten rich in a recession. People are getting rich right now. You know who getting rich? Folk who know how to make masks getting rich right now. You can function in the middle of a crisis. God, crisis does not scare God. He started humanity in the middle of the worst crisis the earth had ever seen. Next verse.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them.
Verse 128, and we're going to work through this a little slowly.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them.
Stop right there. And God blessed them. Brother Donald didn't say God blessed them, and he gave them a Cadillac. God blessed them, and he gave them a house. God blessed them, and they gave them the marriage and the man they was always looking for. That's not what he said. He said God blessed them and said. When God blesses, he blesses first with his words. So why are you expecting a material blessing when you haven't seen his word yet? You need his word on your water to get the blessing that you need. You need his word on your water to get the blessing you need. You need his word on your water to get the blessing that you, let me change it, that you want. Because the blessing you need is in his word. The blessing you want is out there floating around somewhere. But you can't have that until you first get his word. So God blessed them and said, what?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Stop right there. That is your permission to lead. Be fruitful means do. It's a command and do and multiply. So whatever you multiply is now under your domain. So that is your permission to lead. From the beginning of time, you have been given permission to lead. If I never give you the mic to preach, and if I never call your name, I never give you an award, you still have permission to lead by God. The fact that you are breathing means you have permission to lead. The fact that you're still walking means you have permission to lead. You have been given by God a command to be fruitful and multiply. And whatever you're fruitful and multiply is under your domain. Read some more.
And replenish the earth.
And that means even in the beginning of time, replenish means when things get out of place, you have the permission to put them back in place. And that was before sin. Before sin, God said, if there's anything that needs replenishing, if anything has lost its luster, you have the permission to take it to its highest level. If it needed it before the fall, it definitely needs it after the fall. You have permission to lead. Read.
And subdue it and have dominion.
Yes.
Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Fruitful, multiply, replenish, or fill up, subdue, and dominate. You have permission to lead in this crisis. You don't have to ask permission. God has given you the ability and the permission to lead. He's waiting for you to stand up and lead. He's waiting for you to influence. Do you understand that you have 2,000 Facebook followers and 1,000 Instagram followers? Do you know you can say a word that'll change somebody's life, but all you want to do is talk about what you had for breakfast? Get out of that foolishness and make a difference. Influence, lead. People are watching you. They're looking at you. Some of them are waiting on your words, but you keep, you don't know how to get outside of yourself yet. You keep thinking, well, I'm not this and I'm not that and I wasn't born here and my degree doesn't allow me to do this and I drive this and I wear this. Away with all that foolishness. You have permission to lead. All right, let's go to verse 4. This is the last one.
Leading in times of crisis, you must know you will be picked to lead.
Not only do you have permission to lead, you have been and you will be picked to lead. If you do anything right in this day and age, people are going to start snatching you up. They're going to call on you. There are people talking about you in living rooms that you don't even know your name, but they're looking at you and they're creating spaces for you. They're ready to pick you. I got a principal sitting right here under me while I talk because she was elevated. She knew how to be a principal, but the time came to elevate her. A principal over an elementary. I don't know who else is here that could be in an office, that could be doing something great, but you will be picked to lead. So get out of that stinking thinking and have some confidence. You have permission because you're about to be picked. You don't even have to be like class. You ain't got to say, pick me, pick me, pick me. You don't even got to say anything. You ain't got to promote yourself. You ain't got to tell everybody about you. Just keep living the life that you live, and somebody going to notice you because leadership is rare.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go to 10:14, Exodus 18:14. Read.
When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?"
As a background, Moses was leading the people and he was talking to his father-in-law. His father-in-law was visiting and he was telling him what's going on. And his father-in-law was like, what are y'all doing? Read verse 15.
And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God."
He had a good answer. Everybody comes to me to inquire of God. Read.
"When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws."
I'm doing all this stuff because I'm trying to get the people closer to God and help them out and all the other stuff he's trying to do. Verse 17, what did Jethro respond with?
Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good."
You have a good intention, but this is not good. The way that you're leading is not good. And let me talk to the church. The way we've been leading is not good. We've been having all top-down leadership, all about the bishop, and all about the robes we wear, and all about, why do we even wear the robes? Why do we even have clergy colors? When you study it out, it comes from Roman Catholic stuff, and we just like it. It is kind of cute. I like it when I put my little collar on, but that don't mean nothing, really. If I don't have the flow within my heart, all that junk I got on don't mean nothing. I can put a cross on my neck. I can tattoo a cross on my forehead. If I ain't going to live it, it don't mean nothing. And we're looking at all these people that got names, and some people deserve their names. Some bishops are great and awesome, and I think we have an awesome apostle and an awesome pastor, but that's not the point. The point is, if all these people are going to get help before this world closes and they don't end up in hell, we need everybody, all hands on deck. Ooh, I can't wait to pastor calls a prayer meeting. For what? You don't know you need to pray? You come and meet. Ask somebody else that has a key. Come and meet and pray. What are you waiting on me to do? Do you understand? If you have a call to pray, God is not going to ask you, what did pastor say? Pray. Well, I'm waiting for pastor to tell me what book to read. You got 66 books to choose from. Start reading. Amen. What y'all are doing is not good. Oh, we can't praise God until the bishop walks in. Then when the bishop walks in, it's nice to do all that stuff. Back in the day, we can't even testify without first giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Can we just live? And stop all this foolishness and let's start leading folk. When I'm trying to get a prostitute saved, when I try to get somebody like Cardi B who acting the fool, when I'm trying to get her turned around, I ain't got time for first giving honor to God. I need to get in there and do the nitty gritty work that transforms people's lives. So Moses said to, Jethro said to Moses, he said, this really, it looks good, but this ain't good. Read next verse.
You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone.
I like the way it says in other verses. It said, Moses, you are going to wear yourself out, but you're also going to wear the people out. When leadership doesn't flow from the top to the people and from the people to the top, it wears everybody out. Because what the leader does, he only picks the same folk. And the folk that don't get picked get mad. Next thing you know, you got a church split and everybody fighting, everybody mad. And we talking about living our vision every day. And we coming and we mad at everybody. It wears everything out. But we need to be leading from that flow from within. All right, let's put this graphic back up. Either we're going to have crisis leadership or we're going to have a leadership crisis. You can't have it both ways. We are in a crisis right now. So either we're going to have crisis leadership or leadership crisis. You get to pick which one it's going to be. Which one is it going to be, y'all? All right, praise. That sounds good to me. Let's look at Exodus 18, 19 as we're closing. Five more verses.
Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God.
He didn't move Moses from his position. He didn't say you need to step down. He's like, no, you're still going to do what you're going to do. I'm still going to be the pastor. And just because I'm talking like this, this is what God has called me to be. I'm not saying I want you to preach 12 sermons. No, you can't preach yet. You can live, though. Your life is a message. So I need you to live. I'll keep preaching. We're not saying that everybody needs to get a title. That's not the point. The point is everybody has to get involved to do their thing, to make this thing go where it needs to go. If you watch football, in football, I think it's like 50 something men on a team. If you put both of the teams together, it's even more than that. But everybody has to be together. Now the quarterback gets the credit, the running back gets the credit. But when you really get to the nitty gritty, everybody does something. When you take some of these people who've made records, they'll tell you, it's my teammate. They ain't just saying that to say that. They say, no, really. I needed the guy in front of me blocking me. You don't know his name, but I needed him. There's some folk in Deliverance Temple that the live audience don't know your name, but I need you. I need you in these pews. I need you praying for me. I need you calling out my name. I need everything you bring to the table. And the reason why the devil hates you, nobody knows you, but the devil knows you are valuable to this ministry. Well, I only gave $5 in the last month. You understand, your $5 meant a lot. There's a corner of that parking lot that is paved with your $5. Don't you dumb yourself down. You are important. Together, we are vitally, vitally, vitally important. I am nothing without people around me. And you're nothing without people around you. We need each other. So let's look at the next verse.
And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do.
Verse 21.
Moreover.
When you hear the word moreover, it means the but Moses, the priority. Above you being that leader that's getting people connected to God, above you being the focal point, above you being the pastor, the bishop. Moreover, there's something that is more important. Moreover, what?
Look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens.
See, there's a whole bunch of levels of leadership that are out there in the people. He said, I want you to look. Don't just grab somebody and give them a title, but look for the folk that are trustworthy. And I'm here to tell you, some of y'all are trustworthy. Some of y'all wouldn't do the wrong thing. And God is saying, it's time to elevate them. And I can't pick everybody out, but God is going to start elevating you into places of prominence because he sees your work and he sees your labor and he sees your heart. And if you have the heart of leadership, even in a crisis time, it's time for some of y'all to be elevated. And some of y'all, it's not time to be elevated. You ain't ready. But You can look at the person next to you getting elevated and say, if the person next to me is getting it, I got to be somewhere next. And God is elevating us because I'm telling you, as the world is shifting and changing, the only light left is going to be the church. And people are going to wise up and they're going to run to the church the way they run to games, the way they run to malls, the way they ran to clubs. They're going to run to the church. And the worst thing would be for somebody who's been here for year after year after year, can't give them no help. Because you're just as dull as everybody else. But folk are going to run and about run you down. People are coming. Things are happening. And I'm just trying to get y'all ready to be elevated to receive. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to make you are into disciple makers. Where you make other people disciples by your life and the way you live and your testimony. You'll never tell your testimony sometimes publicly. Nobody will get to hear it because it's too personal. You've been through too much to really talk about all you've been through. But there's going to be a group of four or five girls that you'll minister to. You'll change their life. You understand there are people come here from Ball State that don't plan on staying in Muncie. But they may meet you and then they take what you said way back to Minnesota. And next thing you know, they take it somewhere else. And when you get to heaven, you have 50, 500, 1,000 people that you changed their life just because you told them your story. You are not insignificant. You mean something to the body of Christ. And you mean something to your pastor, even when you don't have the money to give, and even when you can't come to the building, and even when you haven't been on the live, you mean something to me because you mean something to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 22 and 23, and then we'll close.
And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you.
If it's a matter that's too big for them, they can bring it to you. But here's the thing. Start and try it. Pastor, this couple needs counseling. I'm going to give them to you. Wait, before you give them to me, why don't you talk to them first? Maybe it's above your pay grade and you got to give them to me, but try it. You have more wisdom than you think you do. Read.
But any small matter, they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you.
They will bear the burden with you. Last verse.
If you do this, God will direct you.
If you do this, God will direct you with the flow. You'll be able to go with the flow from within because God will direct you. Read.
You will be able to endure.
And you'll be able to endure. No matter what the crisis is, you'll be able to endure. A better way to say it, you'll be able to outlast any crisis. And let me prophetically say, Corona is not the last crisis. Amen. 2020 has shown that this is a new age. This ain't the last crisis. But guess what? We ain't going to be moved by the crisis. We're going with the flow.
Amen.
We are the answer. We're the solution to the crisis. And the reason why some people don't know we're the solution because they ain't got bad enough yet. But when it gets bad enough, you'll find out the solution. Let me throw this in. I know I'm coming to a close. But when my mama cooked something I didn't like, I don't want that. But when I got hungry, I don't like tuna. I don't like salmon croquettes. I didn't like that. But when I got hungry enough, salmon was good enough for me. I wanted that hunger pain off my belly. And some people don't know we're the solution because they're not hungry enough. They're not low enough. Their life hasn't been wrecked enough. But when they hit the bottom of the barrel, they're going to look up and they're going to see that's the answer. The prodigal son, the Bible says, he came to himself.
Yes.
And he realized, I could be doing better than this. I can go home. And there are people out there that will come here. It hadn't got bad enough, but it's going to get bad. And we're going to be the answer. We're going to be the only ones looking good, smelling good, acting good, living good, still healed, still healthy. How y'all not sick? How y'all not broke? How in the world, when you don't have people coming to the church, how can you pave the parking lot when you don't have people coming to the church? Because the pandemic don't stop the anointing of God. People are going to take notice. It's going to draw them in. And we're going to need leaders. We're going to need leaders ready when they come. Last part of that verse.
And all this people also will go to their place in peace.
And everybody's going to go to their place in peace. The ultimate place of peace is the heavenly reward. And we get the opportunity to transition people from a life of sin into a heavenly reward of peace. Don't you think you are insignificant? You mean something. Look at your neighbor and say, go with the flow. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to bow our heads and pray. And once again, that flow is the flow from within that comes from the Almighty God. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, I thank you for not just sheep, but the leaders that I get called to lead. You gave me a chance to lead leaders. And God, this is a season where the leaders need to rise up. I pray for every one of us leaders. That means everybody under the sound of my voice, that God, we repent for anything, anything. Stinking thinking, any stinking attitude, any things of speech, any stinking speech that has slowed us back from going with the flow. But God, just like you do with the wastewater, you rip away all the negative and leave it with that positive water so we can be a drink of water to all those that are hurting. We can be the scripture that says, come buy without money and price and drink from that living well. Now, God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice and are also on the live stream that do not know you in the pardon of their sins, I pray, God, that you allow them to repeat this prayer. God, we even thank you for our apostle making sure that I remember to offer this to all these people. Let them say, Father God, come into my heart. Come into my life. Give me this living water so I'll thirst no more. And I'll go with the flow and I'll change other people's lives like you've changed mine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Goodbye.